Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 11. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 11.
Hebrews chapter 4 verse 11 reads this way. It says, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your church, as your body of believers. And then, Lord, once again being reminded that you are in our very presence and wanting to bless our lives and open up our hearts and minds to understand more about the salvation that you've given to us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless us with your Holy Spirit to hear from you. Lord, that we might honor you and worship you in spirit and truth. And then, Lord, that you might, again, Lord, bless us with more understanding of the salvation that you've given to us and your power in our lives. So bless your word, bless us, Lord, your people, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is "The Word of God is Quick and Powerful." The Word of God is quick and powerful. And we know that the book of Hebrews here is speaking to believers, and that's basically wanting, really, the Word of God desires, God wants to give us His wisdom and understanding to walk and live in the promises that He's given to us through salvation. And so that's an important understanding and an important truth. God loves us. He didn't withhold His Son from us, but He gave us His Son that we might have everything. God is in the giving business. Amen? Isn't that a good thing? God is in the giving business. And so God wants us to be in the receiving business if He's in a giving business. So we just need to understand, Lord, and ask Him, Lord, help me to receive everything that you've promised to me as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as a child of the King, as part of the local New Testament church, as that which you've planned and purposed. It's God's purpose to glorify Himself in your life, in mine. Throw everything else you think about, anything else concerning God, away that's not in the Word of God. Just throw all those other things. Oh, listen, God won't hear me if I don't do this. God won't do this if I don't do that. You won't find that in the Word of God. God, listen, if God has not withheld His only begotten Son, will He not freely also give us everything else He wants us to have? He gave us the best up front. Amen? And with His Son and with salvation comes all these other wonderful things that God wants us to understand. So we do want to consider here about the Word of God and its being quick and powerful. And what exactly is it quick to do? Well, it's quick to help us to labor. You find that there in verse 11. It says, "Let us labor, therefore," listen to this, "to enter into that rest." Isn't that interesting? We're working, but what kind of work is it? We're working, but what is it exactly that God is asking from us? That work is to believe and trust in the Lord. There is a work involved, but it's not a physical work. It is a trusting work. So God wanted the Israelites, when they were freed from Egypt, to work in believing in the Lord that He was going to take them into that promise. So it's not really a work like we would think of manual labor, but it involves our, how would you say, it involves our trust to the Lord. It only involves that part on our part, is to trust what God has said. And so what happens is, the work part, partially, is that God brings us through experiences. So think just for a moment, when God was dealing with Egypt. Remember when the Israelites were in Egypt and there were 10 plagues. And so these plagues, did any of these plagues affect the children of God? They did, didn't they? Because the first time Pharaoh said, okay, no more straw to make brick. You guys go out and glean it. And the Jewish leaders said to Moses, what have you done to us? Look what you're doing, you know. And so they had to work harder. But here it is. Did God free them through all those plagues? He did. But so the work part on their part was to trust the Lord and rest in Him, that He had everything under control. Now, I will tell you, and tell me if this is not true in your life, that's easy to say sometimes and hard to do. right? To just trust the Lord. Because sometimes, in some experiences, have you not felt like maybe the Lord has forgotten about you? Or, you know, maybe this wasn't the way it was supposed to go. But the reason for that is because we lean on our own understanding and we forget about God's thoughts being higher than our thoughts. So let's just consider a couple of things here concerning the labor here just for a few moments and really discover what God is really talking about so that we can understand this rest that he's talking about. So let's consider the perspective of God's work. Back up with me, if you would here, to verse 9 and 10. Notice what he says. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased, listen to this, from his own works. That's an important part. So you and I cannot gain any favor from God by what we do for him. Some people think they are better Christians because they tell so many people about the Lord in the week. All right? Or because they do this or that for the Lord. Or because they have this kind of a prayer life. Or because they have this kind of a commitment to reading the Word of God. Now, those things are good and they are important. But they ought to be derived from the Spirit of God that indwells us, that moves us, and where we see God at work in and through us for his honor and glory, because that brings praise and worship. But if I'm doing all the work, then God doesn't get any of the glory. That's a confusing part in the human heart and mind. But he says here in verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Listen to this, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, listen to this, as God did from his. So he says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, God's rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And we'll back up and we'll consider that unbelief. And again, just in a nutshell so that you know what he's talking about, it was the unbelief that the Israelites had towards God that did not allow them to enter into the promised land where they had to wander in the wilderness for some 40 years. Did God provide everything that they needed? Yes. Question, what was Israel's part? Nothing. Well, they had a part, but it wasn't on God's part. No, no, you're right. Their part was nothing, right? Their part was not what God wanted to do. Their part was to complain. That was their part, was it not? They complained. Now, that wasn't what God wanted them to do, but they complained. God provided everything for them. And here's what happened. When they went into the promised land and the spies went in there and they brought back the report about the food and the land, the evil report was they changed their focus on what they were looking at. God provided everything for them. And anytime they complained, they were looking to themselves. Is that not true? And then so now they're complaining because they're still not looking to God. Joshua and Caleb did because, listen, they were saying in so many words, they were saying, listen, if God is pleased with us, he'll deliver them into our hands. They're bread for us. They're nothing. But they didn't see it that way because they said, we're like grasshoppers in their sights. They took their eyes off of God and looked at the opposition and were overwhelmed. Do you know, listen, and what did they do in a nutshell? They quit. They quit God. You and I, listen, a call to be holy is beyond our capabilities. A call to be spiritual is not natural for us. That is supernatural. That involves God working in our lives. So what happens is we look at the task, the daunting task. Should a Christian pray? Try that again. Should a Christian pray? All right. Should a Christian read their Bible? Should a Christian tell people about Jesus? All right. Now, don't answer this one. Don't answer this one. Has it not at different times become more overwhelming sometimes? More things going on in life, awkward situations, and then all of a sudden the task becomes impossible. And then if we're not careful before long, it might be days before we pray. It might be days before we really get into the Word of God. And then we start missing on the Lord. And the reason being is because we start looking at those things as something that we have to do instead of resting and allowing God and calling upon God to do that and fulfill that in our lives. See, we cease from our works. It's God's job. Amen. It's God's work in us. This way, when he presents you and me faultless, as he's done right now. And by the way, do you know what he wants to say about you and me? As Satan's going all over the world and making havoc, he wants to say about you and me, have you happened to notice my servant? Put your name there. That's what he wants to do. See, they eschew evil. They stand for me, and they worship me. You know why? Well, you know why we worship God? Because God's doing something for us, beginning with salvation. Why do we worship God? He saved my soul, and he has delivered me. On top of that, he's doing all these wonderful things. And if we'll keep the perspective that it is God who wills to work his will in our lives, it's his job. And we won't get overwhelmed. We'll go, oh, okay, I like that idea. Here you go, Lord. Now let me call on you to fulfill that. So let's consider a couple things here. So we see the perspective here. Look at verse 12 and 13. And then he says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Is the sword of God, is the word of God doing the work here? It is doing the work. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Whose soul and whose spirit? Ours. Amen. And the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, because we don't even know our own heart. We just think we do. Peter thought he knew his own heart. But I love the Lord. I won't deny him. Whoops. All right. So neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Do you know what God is in the business of doing? Revealing our weakness, not making us strong. Lord, make me strong. That's not God's will. What did he tell Paul? In your weakness, that's where I'm glorified. That's where you see my strength. See, oh Lord, help me to do this. Help me. God doesn't want to help you and me to do anything, but God wants to do it in us. See? And so, we will miss out on what God wants to do. Listen, why did the Israelites fail the Lord going into the promised land? Because they thought they had to save their lives from these giants. They were overwhelmed by the daunting task that they were facing, and they cowered away. You and I will back away from the daunting task of walking a spiritual life if we're doing it in our own strength. I promise you, we'll fail. I know that by experience. When we try, because God, that's not the way God works. We think he works that way, and that is so ingrained in our nature. But here's the good news. God knows about it, and he's trying to get us to let us go of it and trust him. Let go and trust the Lord. All right? So he says this, verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. That's us too. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That's good. God says, I want you to know I see everything. Just like if you had no covering. In fact, we had no covering until the blood of the Lamb. Amen. We had nothing to cover our sins. They were all exposed before the Lord. But now they've been put away by the grace of God. Amen. All right. But that's just the first part of it. Don't forget the second part. Because that's where the glory of God shines throughout our whole life on this side of eternity. So let's consider God's work of mercy and grace in our lives. Look at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. He didn't say, seeing then that you're determined and have promised and you're going to do your best. It's not what he says. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. What is the basis of holding fast our profession? Is it in you or in me or in the work that Jesus did for us? We just read it. It's in the Lord. Now, don't answer this. I will just give you a confession. I thought it was up to me. I thought the Lord's idea was, okay, Lord, you saved me, and now I love you, and bless God, I'm going to get busy for God. No, God wants to get busy for us. All right. So he says this, listen to this. So now we can hold fast our profession because why? We have a great high priest. Don't miss that. You and I cannot hold on to our profession because of our determination, because of our commitment. It's not there. By the way, listen, I told you a believer ought to pray, and you believed, and you agreed. And a believer ought to read their Bible, and you agreed, and I agree. And a believer ought to witness, and all this is true. All of that goes nowhere until we have Christ, the hope of glory, working through us. All of that goes nowhere if we forget that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Now let us hold fast our profession because of him. We're trying to hold our profession fast because of what we're doing, and we miss the Lord on that. And by the way, if you think about it, it's true. Because we get tired and we get weary, and we just need a break sometimes. And the only reason, you remember the disciples? They came to the Lord after he'd been dealing with the woman at the well, and they brought him food. Remember that? And he's our example, is he not, the Lord? And so they bring him food, and they say, "Master, eat." Because they knew he was hungry. Everybody was tired. And he needed a break. But what did he tell them? "I've got meat to eat of that energizes me," basically, "that you know not of." That same power is for us too. That same power is given and promised to the children of God. And why? Otherwise, why would he tell the disciples? He is wanting them to tap into his power. Does the Bible not say, "Abide in me"? Isn't that what the Lord said? Okay, now watch this. Ready? So let's consider this word. Verse 15. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So because of that, he says, let us therefore, remember the word therefore? This is why it's therefore, because of who we have in Christ. "Come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And to live the Christian life, the life of Christ, we have a lot of need, don't we? We can't do a bit of it without the Lord. So let's stop trying. That is so foreign, I think, to our nature. We don't understand that. That is a hard, "You mean I got to stop so God can work?" That's not my idea. It's God's. Amen. I would have never dreamed of that. I would have never come up with that one. And ever. Forget about a million years. I would have just never come up with that one. So he says, "Come boldly to the throne." So here's this work of mercy. Now, I'm going to give you a homework assignment. And don't do it right now. In fact, I won't tell you right now. But I want to just, in conclusion, God wants us to see the significance, because it's not my idea, all right? I just want you to know, God wants us to know how good he is for us, to us, and also how important this is. Because remember, listen, did those people that God does not want his people to be overthrown in the wilderness in this world. God does not want us to be, listen, is Jesus Christ truly the Son of God? Is he the Savior of the world? Do you think it honors the Lord? Do you think it was God's plan for us to live a failed life and say, "Yep, Jesus is my Savior"? What do you think about that world? The Lord would be a laughingstock. Really? The guy down the street with a cult down the corner over there, he does the same thing. But that's not our God. And that's not our Savior. So God never, listen, that's why do you think the Lord said, "You're not going to trust me, you're not entering in the promise. If you're not going to trust me, if you're not going to believe me," because it requires simply just trust, faith. "If you're not going to place your faith in me, you're never going to enter in." Our faith, listen, our faith cannot be placed in ourselves, and that was what the Israelites did. That's why they were overwhelmed, because they looked at themselves and said, "We can't do that." They were right, but they were wrong, more wrong than right. They were right about themselves, but they missed God completely. So God was not pleased with them at all. He was upset with them because they did not. Look, You know you're saved if you're saved. You know you're saved if you're saved. You can go, you know that day it took place. And nobody can tell you different. And you know that God did all the work. You didn't do a thing for it. If you did a thing for it, you have no assurance. I promise you that. But if you know God did it, then you know you have nothing to worry about. Because God can do it. Now watch this. This is why that statement is important. Back up with me to chapter 3. Let's look at verse 16. Let's put this a little bit more into context here. So Hebrews 3:16 says this, "For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses." Some had some unbelief. "But with whom," speaking of God, "but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Who was he upset? This grieved, we can grieve the Holy Spirit, can we not? You know how we grieve the Holy Spirit? By not believing. By not believing what God wants to do. "But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness?" What was their sin? You know what their sin was? Unbelief. Unbelief. And notice this. "And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest?" Listen. Is God not talking about us entering into his rest? Okay, so listen. This is what will keep us out. And that rest, listen, that rest means God working in us for his glory. Question. What was it in the life of Paul that glorified God? It was the Spirit of God. Paul would tell you he did none of that. God used him, he yielded, and he called for the Lord to do it and was glad to present himself, but he was what he was by the grace of God. Amen? All right, so now watch this. Let's put 17 and 18 together. "But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness?" Question. "And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that" what? "Believed not." So we see that they could not enter in because of? Same thing that keeps you and me. Listen. If you're not excited about the Word of God, and please don't. It's not a bad thing if it's the truth. And if we're not excited about prayer, and if we're not excited about the Christian life, the reason is because we're doing it in our own strength. That's the whole reason we'll stay away from it. But when those miracles were taking place, and Moses got to, remember Moses? "Lord, I can't talk. I'm going to send Aaron." I'm telling you, after the first encounter with Moses, with Pharaoh, there was Aaron and Moses, because Pharaoh was talking to both of them. So I'm no doubt in my mind they were both involved. But after that, Moses took over. Because he said, "Man, I want to watch God work again through me. I want to watch God." And listen, God is glorified to work through our lives. So if you don't hear anything, hear this. Give it to God and stop trying to do it. Stop trying to do what you and I were never created to do, and that was to fabricate the glory of God. God will do it for us. In fact, listen, God gives it to us. Isn't that something? So here's the homework assignment. Take your time and go back through Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And you can put the rest of it in order there. But that will show you what the Israelites missed out on. Listen, that we don't have to. We don't have to. God, listen, we have the complete canon of Scripture. And God reveals this truth for his church today to walk in his power and might. Oh, listen, what a life and what a rest. Amen? What power, not ours, but God's in us and through us, for his glory that will bring us to worship. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your wisdom. And Lord, most of all, we thank you for the salvation that you've given to us that comes with all of your promises. And Lord, may we not look to ourselves, but to you to fulfill all your will and all your work that you desire to perform in us, and may we truly enter into your rest, and that we will cease and stop from our labors and allow you to fulfill and do your work in us. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.